let's sing one together. Let me do a couple, three verses. Maybe we'll stand on the last verse, all right? Not a greater song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, oh, but now I can see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and Satan's snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and that same grace is gonna lead us home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. To sing God's praise than when we first begun. Why don't we shake hands with two or three or four and get to know someone in church this morning? Sing at church. Than when we first begun. You may be seated. Boy, you're a friendly bunch. I mean, I might should have said one or two, you know? All right, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I want to thank you for having me this morning at a very healthy church. How many love this church? Give me an amen. Amen. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempt me and he tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, word of fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. You know, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I had a lot of heartache, met a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. And there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Sing it. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempt me and he tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Give Remington a good hand. He's good. He's real good.
There ain't nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. Amen. Silver and gold can never buy his mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel in his power. I can say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Sing it. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempt me and he tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempt me and he tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey.
Feel that way. This place is alive. Thank the Lord. Emily, you look great today. Stan, sorry about you. Okay. They're special, aren't they? I want to sing them and also Buddy Franklin, a friend of mine, great pastor, and Edna. I want to sing you all four a song my cousin wrote, and it says, "We need our spirit-filled preachers." And I guess we all know a preacher is no greater than his wife. I'm being honest with you. I've seen many greats try to overcome things at home. But we have greatness here today, and I want to honor them, all four. And my cousin wrote this. Now the song, our little record, yes, I'm old, our little 45. Kids are like, what's he talking about? It's a CD with a big hole in it, okay? And it's embedded in his tombstone as we speak in Southern Ohio, where I live. And it tells all about our family and the song. We were amazed when we saw it. And that's the honor that we want to leave behind, is great gospel music too, amen? And great churches, great life. This is the life. Someone may have showed up today in church and thought, well, it's time, I'll just go over there. No, this is really by far the most important hour or two of the week to be in church and to draw closer to God. And if you have an issue in your life that you can pray, and there's something different about praying in church than alone in a truck going down the road. It's just great to worship God today and to draw closer to him, and I hope we all agree. I want to sing a song that says, "It'll be worth it after all." We're going to hear Jesus call, is the way Denver wrote this to my cousin, and I hope you love it today. Again, I want to sing it for Buddy Franklin. He's such a special guy. We need our spirit-filled preachers more every day to teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers, prayer warriors who pray all night long. We need some good gospel singing. Here's why. To help us all go another mile. How many's been encouraged by gospel music? The church will triumph, oh Lord, 'cause we're all gonna go home in a little while.
it'll be worth it after all. Try, it'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. Amen. It'll be worth it after all. Child, it'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, remember that. It'll be worth it after all. Sometimes it's just me and sometimes it's you. When you're down in your valley, prayer is all I can do. That's when our Lord sends deliverance, and He'll strengthen me and you. Then when you're upon your mountain so high, and you see me struggling along, lift my name up to Jesus. Let's help each other make it home. Amen. It'll be worth it after all. Child, it'll be worth it after all. That verse is for you, Edna, all right? After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. Amen. It'll be worth it after all. Child, it'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all. I want you to sing that, will you? After all of this climbing, well, it'll be worth it after all. How many go to this church? How many don't? Shame on you. Give the visitors a great hand, all right, will you? I've got really good news this time. I'm on a diet and doing really good. I've only gained 9 pounds. That's not bad. Stan's laughing at me. But I think I had too much of that fluff you gave us that one service. All the skinny guys can eat it, you know? I just smell the wrappers and I gain weight. But I really love to come. And your church has always supported me. And I don't mean just financially, that too. But you've always been into my songs and a lot of nice comments this morning as I pulled up, and after 6.5 million miles of traveling, it's kind of nice to hear those great things. I hear them other places, but sometimes I feel like I'm a man without a land just because I'm 1,000 miles or 2 or 3 or 6 from my own home. But when I'm in Exeter, Maine, I feel at home. And I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. But you know, I'm going to sing about a home that's even far greater than Ashland, Ohio, where I live, or here where you are. We're singing about a place called heaven. I've noticed we don't hear as much about heaven as we did earlier. I've talked to some of the more modern writers, and they're more into today's terms, and that's okay.
It is today. It's not 1947 or 1976 or whatever. So I'm all about that. But I don't want to forget where we're going. And we want to praise God that there's a home. You'd think Maine is beautiful. Vestal said, how beautiful heaven must be. Amen? Amen. And her brother-in-law, my favorite singer, Rusty Goodman, wrote it. He says, I'm heading home. Hope you enjoy it today. It's just a beautiful, mellow song. And thanks for making me feel at home. That means a lot. Thank you. Many times while on my journey, I've stopped along the way, just like today, to help a weary, weary pilgrim's load, to share, though at times a cool and restful place would bid my heart to stay. But home is where my Father waits. Ah, he waits me there, and I'm heading home. Heading home. Nothing in this world can turn me round, I'm heading home, heading home, in the morning heading home, when the sun comes. So I say to you, listen to this verse, don't hold on to the pieces in your hands. They're broken dreams that you have dreamed too long, much too long, for those pieces our grange to build another castle in the sand. So put your hand in a pilgrim's hand and sing a pilgrim song. Sing it, we're heading home. Heading home. Nothing in this world can turn us around. Here's why. We're heading home. Heading home. In the morning, heading home. When he down. In the morning, heading home, when he comes down. I noticed a lot of kids, if they don't mind me calling them that, there'll be a day they wish they were one. But my two grandsons, Brady and Bentley. Brady, when he was about seven, he's nine now. When he was seven, he started preaching. And his uncle built him a little one of these, just a miniature one. And he'd pull that thing out himself, and he'd get his little blue Bible, the one with all the pictures in it, right? And he couldn't read, but he could preach. And to us, he could. And I sure wouldn't discourage him. Can I get an amen? Amen. I've seen that done, and I think that's wrong. But anyway, boy, he'd open that book, and he'd see Jonah or somebody, and he'd start preaching on him. My other little grandson, Bentley, he was five. Then he would sit on the front, or the not the front pew, but the couch, and he would go, amen. One time I was over there, and he started running through the kitchen and coming to sit down. I said, what was that? He said, I was shouting. He'd been to an old, I think he was down there with mommer's teeth, I'm pretty sure, you know. But he had seen someone running in church. But I'm proud of my grandsons. The other day, I'll quickly tell you, we pulled in my truck up to a drugstore, going to go in and get a couple things. And there was this old gentleman, I mean a sweetheart. I would say 90. He was an old guy. And he was walking, no cane, no walker, no nothing, just taking his time, going down the sidewalk. Excuse me. The windows were up so he couldn't hear me. And I said, guys, look at this old gentleman. He was sitting behind me in another seat. And I said, he's doing really good. You know, just trying to instill some sense into these kids that are on computers all the time. I think they had my phone and iPad at the same time I was telling them. They usually get that stuff. But anyway, I said, check it out. And Brady said, oh, yeah, Peppo, he's doing really good. Bentley didn't say nothing. 3 seconds of silence of Bentley Booth is a problem. And I said to myself, I'm going to wait him out. He said, Peppo? He's sitting right behind me. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him. He said, you're kind of like that already. I took Brady in and got him an ice cream cone, you know? Okay. Oh, I love him. Don't you love your kids? Amen. And tell Philip he might as well got married. He's no better than the rest of us, okay? Be sure and tell him I said that. When I look all around and see these good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. Amen. His blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. I think you know this one. I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. I love how this writer wrote the second verse. Sometimes, while on this way, I kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. But one day, church, I'll reach heaven sure. Oh, please, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank you for. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. I need you to help me, will you? So much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where
He's brought me from. I've got so much to thank Him for. Lord, when I think of what You've done and where You brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
How many feel that way? Amen. I just released a new CD this week. It's just piano. I already did the Amazing Grace. Got a lot of great songs on it. Here's one. I'm kind of homesick for a country. It's a place I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, 'cause time won't matter anymore. It's gonna end inside. It's just a few more weary days to labor. Then I will take my heavenly flight. I want us to stand. I want you to sing it. I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. Eternal, beautiful land, sweet beautiful land. Just listen to this, church. May be seated. What we just heard in this beautiful church is what I'm sure Pastor and Emily and all of you members envisioned when you built the new building. I remember the old building was wonderful too. But what we just heard is worth the effort, the finances, the work, the banks, everything, that the church would be full this morning singing together of about a place called Heaven, Beulah Land. And it was wonderful. That's what the church is all about. Amen? It's a beautiful building, empty. I was here this morning and you were at breakfast. But it's sure a lot more beautiful with you here. We've had a great time today. Thank you for having me. Pray for my ministry. I still do about 200 services a year. I need the Lord's strength and safety. And watching out for these moose and elk in Montana and everywhere I go. So pray for my safety and I'll appreciate it. I'm going to sing one more song. I want you all to join my Facebook. It's full. The other one's not. They're both called Kevin Spencer Music, but one is you can able to click like and join it. I'd love to have you on my Facebook. My CDs are in the lobby. I'll be brief. I have 5 new ones since I was here. That's a hint, okay? I see artists selling them for $20. I'm like, I don't do that. But if I did, that would be $100, right? Well, you can get any 5, the 5 new ones, or any of my 5 for $40. And it supports me in all my expenses, but if you want to just spend $20, you can grab any 2 you want for $20, okay? So you can look at the CDs we've got. I think you would really enjoy the one with just the piano, to be honest. I did How Great Thou Art, and the songs I've sung today, Beulah Land, Amazing Grace. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and the blood will never lose its power. Until the storm passes over, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's a really nice project, just piano. And if you don't like to hear me sing, don't get that one because I didn't cover it up, okay? Oh, we've had a good time today. How many want me to come back? Let me hear from you out there. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am on my journey to that city for square. In the love of God, I surely will enter there. When some bright tomorrow with the saints I'll stand, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Oh, glory, sing it, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed strong while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Amen. When I sing this next line, I want everyone to shout something to the Lord. Everyone, all right? Here it is. There will be no dying, no more trouble or strife. We will live through the ages by the beautiful stream of life. When I join that chorus, heaven's happy band, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Oh, glory, sing it, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood-washed throng while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Oh, glory, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood-washed throng while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. I'll put on a crown and walk around all over promised land. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kevin. That was all right. You did good. I'll keep working with you. How's that? It's a true story. Someone told me that they had a preacher one time that he walked right onto the pulpit after not finishing the week before, and he just was said, point number four, and he continued right on where he was. And I'm not going to do that to you, but I am going to give you point number four. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to read John 14, 27. Can we put that up, James? John's 14, 27. And let's do this. Let's all just read it together. And Jeopardy thing? There we go. Here we go. Let's all read this together. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our Heavenly Father, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about one of the greatest gifts that Christians possess. And I pray that we'd not forget this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Point number one last week is you get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I love my wife, and Kevin's pointing out I probably wouldn't be nearly as successful without her. I hope I never have to find out. But the reality of it is as much as I love her, I want you to know that my relationship with Jesus Christ is more special to me than my relationship with her. And you say, oh yeah, preacher, we've heard that, whatever. But the reality of it is, you can't beat a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And I can't emphasize that enough. It's absolutely wonderful. He wants to be my friend. Say that with me. He wants to be my friend, and he is if you'll let him. Number one, I have a personal relationship. Number two, I have personal forgiveness. Anybody got any regrets? I'm telling you, thank God for forgiveness, because life will haunt you. And it does me at times. I can remember they talk about bullying in school. I was a bully in school. I can remember picking on kids. I would love to be able to go back and fix those things, but you can't go back. I can think of kids now that I picked on in school, and I wonder how they're doing. It bothers me. And I was supposed to be one of the good kids. And you have regrets. But I can go to the Lord, and though, you know, David said, my sin is ever before me. You can't forget your sin. You shouldn't forget your sin. If you could forget it, you'd repeat it. Hopefully the regret of your past would keep you from doing that in the future. But the reality is of this, is the peace that you get when you know your sins are forgiven is priceless. So number one, I've got a personal relationship. Number two, I have personal forgiveness. Number three, we talked about last week, we have a personal forgiveness, we have a personal place. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And the Lord is prepared for me. He's prepared for you. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's a home in heaven with your name on it, and you get to go there. There's been kind of a theme going on all this morning. We didn't get together and have a confab and, hey, let's push this. But you notice that heaven has been the subject this morning. And there is a place in heaven for you if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. There's a place in hell for you if you've not. That's the reality of it. I choose heaven. I choose Christ. It's not a close call, folks. And lastly, and the big thing, is John chapter 14 and verse 27. You know, I'm told there's two types of canoers in the world. How many have been canoeing? You've been canoeing. Okay. All right. We're all in this together. If you're a canoer, there's two types of canoers in the world. Those that have flipped their canoe and those that are going to flip their canoe. That's how it is. I was doing a float trip in Missouri. And I was in somebody else's canoe. Doesn't matter. We're going down. In Maine, we have these waters that you see the bottom. You know how deep it is. You go out in Missouri, and it looks like every river just went through a storm, and the mud's all turned up. But the mud's turned up all the time out there. You can't see a thing. You don't know where the bottom is. Why people even go in those places is a mystery to me. So we're out there. We're in a canoe, and we're floating along. And back then, my daughter was about seven. It was after my first wife had passed away, and so we're trying to do things that are fun with the family. And so we're out there with my wife's sister. We're in this canoe, and they like to float. We don't do this here in Maine, but out there they just float. And so they get in these tire tubes or whatever, some flotation device, and you put your kids in these things and you shove them off and they're gone. And there they go. There's Tori out floating. And we're starting to come to some faster water. And I'm thinking, this isn't safe. I need my daughter in the canoe. So I was the only one in the canoe. And I look over like this. And as I turn like this, don't turn in a canoe. Don't do that. So I turned to try to rescue my daughter from the fast-moving water, and I almost flipped. And I came back, and holy, I almost flipped. Did you see that? And so, stupid, I decided I needed to check on her again. And by the golly, that time I did, just like that. I was down. And I went under the water, and I came up, and I was not happy. Stupid canoe. There's two types of people in the world. John 14:27, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." There's two types of people in the world, those that are in trouble or those that are going to be in trouble. And Jesus said, "I want to promise you peace." See, the world does it all. They figure peace is the absence of trouble. Well, that's not what peace is. Peace is the presence of God in the midst of trouble. And those without Christ, they don't know what peace is. The world says, okay, whatever it is, maybe I've got money enough to get out of it. If I can come up with the finances, I can buy my way out of it. Let me tell you something. If you have a problem that money can take care of, it's not a real problem. Real problems are problems that money can't touch. Physical, the doctor looks at you and says, "I don't know." That's a problem. Financial, where no amount of money can dig you out of the hole that you've dug yourself into. Relationships. Your wife or your husband looks at you and says, "You know what? I don't even like you anymore." That happens. I've had people tell me about their spouse, "You don't know how much I hate him or her." And I'm, "Oh, baby." There's nothing money can cure, folks. That's a heart issue. And I want you to know that a relationship with Jesus Christ promises peace. It's not a matter of resources or finances or even other people. The greatest thing that we can have in life isn't stuff. It's knowing God in his son, Jesus Christ. And when you know that, there's a peace that the world can't give to you and the world can't take away. And no matter where you're heading or what you're doing or where you're going, only Jesus Christ can provide that. You know what's wrong with the world today? They got nothing to look forward to. I like Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places." This is heaven. One of these days, he's going to raise us up. He'll take us up in the rapture, or you're through death, you will pass on to life through Jesus Christ, and we're going to get to be in heaven, in that place that he said in John chapter 14, he's prepared for us. So in heaven, I don't know. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm a college dropout. I don't know a lot, but I've read my Bible. That helps, okay? So let me illustrate it to you this way. In the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I want you to know right now, even though your sins are forgiven, maybe you've got health, maybe you don't have health, you know you're going to heaven, you know you have a home there that he's prepared for you, you don't have a clue of all the things the Lord's done for you. We are clueless. And the Bible says in the ages to come, I think there are conflicts that could have happened in your life, car wrecks that may have taken place, moose that you may have hit, that God said, "Nope, Kevin's not ready for that moose in his life right now. I'm going to move that one so he doesn't see it." Okay? Or for that disaster that could happen or that temptation that Stan couldn't handle, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. And the Bible says in the ages to come, I think we're going to be there. I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of Christ, of course. And so we'll be there. And I think he's going to say, hey, look, in the ages to come, Stan, you see that right there? I did that for you back in 1987. You didn't even know. But there it is right there. Oh, look. See that over there? I did that for you in 1996. You see that there? 2002, that woman, Emily, that you married? You see, I did that. I did that. I think there's going to be time for all ages, for the ages to come. The Lord is going to constantly be pointing out to us the things that we were clueless about that he did for us. How great is that? Huh? I'm telling you. The peace that I have with Jesus Christ, forget the Visa card, this is priceless. And we all have it. And shame on us when we have a bad day and we get down on ourselves. In Christ, I recognize we're human, but we have no excuse for a bad day because we know where we're going and we have a hint of how good it's going to be. I hope every one of you here know Christ as your personal Savior, because everything I just said, if you don't, you're out of it. You got no part of it. But with Christ, I can't begin to tell you how wonderful a life we have now and what we are going to have when we leave here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for Kevin, for the songs of glory. We thank you for Jesus Christ, most of all, that you love us, you care for us. We have a relationship, a place, we have forgiveness, we have personal peace. And the list could go on and on and on. There's not paper enough to hold all that could be written about what it is to know you and live for you and appreciate the relationship that you give us. Lord, I pray for those that are fighting illness, that you'd be with them and heal their bodies. We have those that have been in surgery and those that are going into surgery. We have those with cancer that have been fighting it for a long time, and really the fact of the matter is they will always have cancer until they die. It's just in remission. And whether they go in the rapture or die of something completely different, they know the tests that they are going through, and only you can provide the peace. No doctor can do that. So, Lord, I ask for folks today that need a touch from you, that need your peace, that they would grab a hold of what you've already promised they could have and that they would experience it. Lord, I pray for folks this morning that possibly have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, that today they would trust you and get on board with all the royalty that comes with being a child of the King. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. Lord, I pray specifically for those that are hurting today. They're in trouble. They don't know how to get out of it. But they know that you've promised them a way. There is a way. You've always provided a way. And I pray that this morning they would ask you for it. You'd guide them. That you would grant them that peace that they're looking for. Bless this invitation, please. However you've spoken to us, Lord. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name.